We are radio entrepreneurs, and that means we are entrepreneurship. We're always talking about entrepreneurship. My name is Jeffrey Davis. Thanks for listening to our segments, and we are at the law firm of Tarlow, Breed, Hart, and Rogers, and that's in downtown Boston, Prudential Center. My co-host is Mark Z from Mark Z Legal Staffing. Thanks, Mark.
Thank you. Great to be with you today, Jeff.
You too, Mark. Next time I see you, I expect to see a deep, dark suntan.
Well, I hope so.
Me too.
With the holidays before us.
Okay. And our next guest, you've been on the show before, if I remember correctly, way back. You probably don't even remember.
I don't know that I have.
I think you have, actually. But we're talking to Keith Pabian from Pabian Law. You do a lot of immigration work, right?
Yeah, so our firm solely focuses on corporate immigration, and our clients break down into companies, hospitality organizations, and sports clients.
Interesting. And how did you get into the practice?
It's funny, it goes all the way back to college. So when I was in college, I did my term abroad in China, and I understood why people would want to come to the United States and make their home here. And so I started working in the immigration field, started as a paralegal, and through many twists and turns, I realized that I really enjoyed the corporate side of things, and that then further led us into really specializing with a lot of technology companies, hospitality, and then the sports as well.
You really are involved in the key industries. I mean, every industry that you're working in right now, there's such a demand for very specialized, talented people, as opposed to working on the other side of people entry. These companies or organizations are trying to bring in talented people for technology. And what's interesting with the administration going on now and DACA and different companies looking for talent, whether it's sports, hospitality, technology, I'm sure that those are some challenges for your clients.
Oh, absolutely. And well, and it's interesting from our standpoint, because I always say to our staff that our clients don't really want to hire us. If they could hire Americans, they would do that in a second. It's expensive. It's time consuming. This new administration seems to be throwing every roadblock possible at them. And if they could get away with hiring Americans, they would in a second. But and you're exactly right, Mark, that they can't. And so because of that, they have to turn to our firm. And
right.
It's wonderful. It's very interesting. And I love what we do. But and we have some really, really great relationships with our clients. But at the end of the day, if they could find workers to replace the foreign nationals that we help them with,
right,
they would do that in a second.
What was interesting is, obviously, you've built an incredible practice, and it was successful way before this administration. But now they're leaning heavily on you because you have to really be creative. You have to really be an expert in immigration. You can't dabble it. And that's why with you, you're really working on the highest level, because it's affecting these organizations. I'm hearing presidents and CEOs of some of the major corporations, it's the top headache they have for talent right now.
Oh, absolutely. And what's really difficult on our side is that our firm, when I created my firm, I really created it with this idea that we're going to be proactive, we're going to think ahead, and we're going to try to solve things early on. Since this new administration took effect, and really, I would say over the last 4 months is really where we're seeing the changes coming down. Unfortunately, we're telling this to our clients, we are continuing to try to be as proactive as possible. There are definitely times where we are in a reactive mode. One of the really interesting things about this new administration is that because early on, and frankly until this tax bill, they haven't really been able to get anything through, a lot of the changes they've made have been very quiet in terms of how they're interpreting the regulations. So the government has just so much discretion in how they interpret these regulations, and they're doing it very differently than past administrations. And so what we're seeing is we're filing the same petitions or the same applications, and we're getting very different decisions or requests back from the government. Ultimately, by large, we're still getting approvals, but some of the things we're seeing coming through are just mind-boggling and surprising. And so,
Can you give us an example?
Well, so an example would be that I'll give you an example. So, in the corporate world, one of the things that we have to do when we file applications is we have to explain what wage will the foreign national be making. Now, the Department of Labor has all these buckets, and to very simplify, they have all these buckets. You can call someone at your company any title you want, as absurd as you want it to be, but at the end, you have to analogize it to the Department of Labor category. up until now, you could use the entry-level wage category for these applications. And in some in many examples, the entry-level wage is exactly appropriate. It might be a recent college grad that's doing a software engineering role. About 3 months ago, nationwide, the government started asking for evidence as to why are you basically using an entry-level wage for this application. And we're hearing about a lot of denials based on this entry-level wage. There's nothing in the law about this. For years, that's been totally fine.
Right.
And again, it's absolutely appropriate. And what's frustrating in terms of us, in terms of being an immigration lawyer, is that the world moves so quickly. And at the end of the day, and I'm speaking actually as a business owner as well, a business is only going to be willing to invest so much money in someone, especially if they don't already work at the company.
Correct.
So what's frustrating is a lot of the changes that are happening. If someone sued the government, they would probably prevail because they're completely going against the regulations. But because organizations need to move quickly, fill jobs, and they don't want to spend endless amounts of money on an individual, a lot of this stuff isn't going to be challenged.
That's a good point.
So it's an interesting time right now. And I keep saying to my wife, I feel like Trump is making me travel across the country, because one of the things that we've done is, and I've personally done, is I've gone to visit every one of our corporate clients to explain what's going on, try to explain to the employees what's happening and what they can expect, and just trying to make everyone less scared, because it's a very scary time for a lot of people.
I would assume
right now
there's a lot of anxiety right now.
A ton of anxiety.
You know what's interesting? First of all, you also have major webinars. You're very good at alerting your clients. Listen to this webinar. Here's what's happening. Keeping them informed. But the other thing is, even companies that are not bringing talent, ones that have existing talent. So say company is in England and wants to bring somebody over for a certain amount of time from their own company. Those employees are fearful to come over because they're fearful that they won't go back.
Oh, absolutely. And that's a really good point. So there's a special visa for companies to move managers and executives to the United States if they've been working there previously. When I first started practicing, that used to be the easiest application we did. I used to feel like it was a gift from a client to give us one of those applications. It's actually turned itself around, and it's actually one of the more difficult ones because the government wants organizations to go to endless amounts of detail on job descriptions and just things that frankly don't matter and that don't exist in the real workplace.
Right.
Now, that being said, because they need talent so much and because oftentimes those are critical employees, they'll still do it.
Right.
But one of the first things I explain to the clients when they call us about some of these visas is I explain how difficult the road ahead is and how much we're going to need their help in getting an approvable application. So it's a much different time. It's very interesting.
I'm going to give you a question. Sorry. I have a friend who just bought a U.S. company out of Canada, and he's going to have to relocate probably to somewhere in the United States. Is that going to be a problem for him?
Like any lawyer, I'll say it depends.
What about his wife? She's going to have trouble working, correct? Because she's going to have to move with him. She's been an employee in Canada. She can't just come down here and work.
Are they both Canadian?
Yes, they are.
So interestingly, they actually could qualify for a visa that might actually be easier than a lot of the others that we've been talking about. So one of the big problems is this agency called U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services. It's what INS became after September 11th. This is where we're seeing a lot of the changes. When we can get clients away from USCIS, which is the acronym for that agency, things seem to go a lot better. And there's a special investment visa. If the stars align, the person benefiting from the visa has to be the same nationality as the ownership, which in your friend's case they are. That could actually go through the U.S. Department of State, which is the consulate and embassy system, which traditionally actually is much more liberal in how they approve visas. And very luckily for your friend, spouses can actually apply for work authorization on that visa. So you just completely made me go against everything I've said, because that actually is a great option potentially for them. But options like those are few and far between, because the facts have, it's so fact specific that most people aren't going to be able to benefit from that type of visa.
Keith, that's interesting.
Yeah, Keith, the other thing, obviously, you deal in the sports area, and you have especially hockey, and now it's getting into other industries. I mean, baseball and even basketball. I mean, doesn't the administration understand that what they're doing is really affecting all these industries that bring in so much money into the economy? And when you shut these industries down with talent, whether it's, again, sports or, as you say, hospitality or technology. I remember going to a meeting with the president of Carbonite, and he was just saying how it's really killing his talent pool to help. These companies are not able to grow.
Well, and Mohammed from Carbonite has done a really good job of vocalizing how important foreign nationals are to the company.
Right.
And I know engineering companies that recruit overseas all the time. Or
absolutely,
the
absolutely. So here's the problem. And this is actually, that was a really good question to ask, because I think it highlights how crazy things are. And we hear the same thing from hospitality organizations as we do from sports. They say the same thing, right? We're a hotel on the Cape. How are we possibly supposed to survive without our housekeepers or without our waiters and waitresses or without our cooks? What I've said all along, and I speak at a lot of sports league meetings and a lot of hospitality seminars, especially with sports, the government likes sports. Everyone likes sports. It's actually probably the least controversial industry of any that I've ever worked with. When we're seeing changes affect the sports industry, that's when I feel like you know things are bad.
Tsunami.
So, right. It's the beginning of a problem. And so here's where we are now. It used to be that the sports petitions were the easiest ones to get approved at our office. Right? We have a good system with it. It's just easy. And we have good clients. What they're doing now is they're actually using social media to vet individuals before they approve visas and green cards. So they're doing is they're typing in LeBron James, who's an American, but let's use him as an example. And so they would type into LeBron
Alexander
James.
Alexander Ovechkin, the hockey player.
Ovechkin. Okay, so let's actually use Ovechkin. Now, Ovechkin might have done a camp or a clinic for the Baltimore Youth Hockey Organization. What we're seeing requests from the government now is, why was Alex working for an employer who was not the Washington Capitals? Why was he working for Baltimore Youth Hockey? And it's becoming a really big issue. We have an issue right now with one of our clients who at one point was a very high-profile National Hockey League player, made millions of dollars, got banged up. He has a history of concussions. He's probably done. But he's still under contract. He's still on, technically on our team's roster. He's volunteering as a head coach for a kid's hockey program in his town. This could be the thing that stops him from getting a green card. And it's very scary seeing what's happening now. And some would say that's good, right? I mean, some would say that it's good to be able to make sure that people are only doing the activities that they should be doing.
Right.
But at the same time, we want people helping the economy, helping do pro bono things.
Right.
And in this situation, you just wanted to volunteer coach.
Wow. Keith, you got to come back again and talk to us some more about these subjects. If somebody wants to find you, how would they do that?
So my last name is spelled P-A-B-I-A-N. My phone number, Mark, is 617-939-9444. And Pabian Law is my firm name, www.pabianlaw.com.
Thanks for being on the show today. Great stories.
Thanks so much for having me.
Great. We're going to take a break and remind everybody this is Radio Entrepreneurs.